listening to the Miss McBookworm podcast, a podcast that brings you stories from Christian women. What I envision for this podcast is a space for women who write fiction to share their stories in audio form, and ultimately to tell God's bigger stories through our smaller ones. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
My name is Rachel Knowles, and I'm going to read the first chapter of A Single Obsession, written by me. Chapter 1. West Meon, Hampshire, January 1811. Eliza Mary's eyes glowed with excitement as she put her foot in the stirrup and swung herself into the saddle. Finch glowered at her, but she paid no heed. Why should she change her mind because her groom disapproved of her joining the hunt dressed like a man? This was her last chance to escape from her skirts before the trials of the London season, and she intended to make the most of it. Finch let out a frustrated huff as he made ready to accompany her. There's still time to go home, Miss Eliza. Feel free, she said, throwing him a saucy smile before urging her mount into a trot. She soon caught up with her brother, who brought up the rear of the hunt. William gave her a welcoming grin, and they rode on side by side. The hunting party was too used to her brother's friend Robson to question her presence. As long as she did nothing to draw attention to herself, no one would recognize her. Eliza inhaled deeply, and a contented smile spread across her face. She refused to let Finch's disapproval dampen her mood. He might be her most trusted servant, but that didn't give him the right to dictate her actions. Though it was a barren time of year, being outdoors, whatever the weather, always made her feel more alive. The air was crisp, and the last remnants of the frost glistened on the grass that wouldn't resume growing for several more weeks. The trees were bare of leaves, but small clumps of evergreens provided bursts of colour, as did the occasional daffodil, poking its head up through the hard earth, with the promise that winter would not last forever. It was impossible not to feel cheerful, surrounded by such beauty, as she rode across the fields on the back of a splendid horse, without having to worry about being reprimanded for not behaving in a ladylike manner. After they had been riding for some time, the hunt led them through a field edged by a boundary wall, which Eliza judged to be about 5 feet high. Most of the hunting party were taking a long detour up the field to where a groom held open a gate. All except two. Two men had not altered their path and were advancing toward the wall. Eliza was too far behind to make out who they were, but even from this distance she could tell their mounts were magnificent beasts. She watched in admiration as the first rider chivied his black hunter into a canter and headed straight for the wall. As he approached it, he shortened his horse's stride, and with little effort, he cleared the brick barricade with room to spare. The second rider followed suit, taking the wall at the same place, though with less clearance. Dare she copy them, or was it too great a risk? She knew the ground was even on the far side, having ridden over this land many times before, but she was not as confident of her mount. Although the grey hunter she rode would have no problem navigating the obstacle, he was a more powerful animal than she was used to. All would be well, provided she could control him, so he didn't rush the jump. If she'd been riding her own mare, she would not have hesitated. However, she rarely had the chance to ride Whisper astride, and never in the hunt because her horse would give away her identity, no matter how well she was disguised. Excitement bubbled up inside her at the thought of flying through the air, even for a moment. The idea was too tempting. She glanced around for Finch. Good. Her groom was too far away to stop her. No doubt he would give her a lecture afterward, but she had made up her mind. She was going to jump. She was about to break into a canter before Finch guessed what she planned to do, when William came racing past her. Eliza tensed. He was going too fast. Sure enough, his horse struggled to get his strides right, and her breath hitched as his mount's rear legs clipped the top of the wall. With a shake of her head, she muttered to herself. How could her brother be so careless as to rush the jump? He was fortunate to have made it over at all. She would show him how it should be done. Eliza urged her horse to increase his pace and headed for the boundary. Steady now. She needed to keep him in check so he didn't approach the barricade too fast. Using all her strength, she controlled the animal's excitement and they flew over the wall with ease. They landed safely on the other side and with a sigh of relief, she brought her mount to a standstill. Feeling rather pleased with herself, Eliza bent low over the horse's neck, stroking his mane and whispering words of praise. As she turned to her brother, ready to gloat about how superior her jump was to his, she realised William was not the only huntsman waiting for her. The riders who had cleared the wall in front of them were beside him, and they were looking straight at her. The sight of them made her heart stand still, because she was no longer in any doubt who they were. Two gentlemen she knew, and not just any gentleman. One was her sister Georgiana's brother-in-law, Anthony Warren. The other was his best friend, Beau, the Viscount Beaumont, the man she had been in love with for the past 3 years. What was he doing here? He was supposed to be in Newmarket. She had not seen him for months, not since her sister's wedding, and this was not how she had pictured meeting him again. Dressed as a man. Would he recognise her? Experience had taught her that people saw what they expected to see. No one expected to see the rector's daughter masquerading as a man, and so they didn't. However, she did not trust her disguise to hold up under scrutiny. Although she had pulled this rig many times, she had always avoided being singled out before. It had been a mistake to jump the wall and draw attention to herself. Eliza panicked. How could she have been so foolish? What if Beau recognised her and was scandalised by her behaviour? Despite harbouring a hope that he would be amused rather than shocked, she wasn't ready to put it to the test. Not before she'd had a chance to win his heart. Whatever was she going to do? Ride away as fast as she could or brave it out? Before she could choose, Beau rode forward, taking the decision out of her hands. That was magnificent. He's a big horse for such a whippersnapper like yourself to manage, but you did it with style. Eliza leaned forward to ruffle her horse's mane as heat flooded her face. Thank you, my lord. She inhaled deeply and let out the breath slowly. Then again, and again. If she did not stay calm, she would give herself away and her reputation would be ruined. As the warmth in her cheeks faded, Eliza risked sitting up in the saddle. It was a relief to find Beau was no longer looking at her. His gaze was fixed on two riders who had veered off from the rest of the hunting party and were heading toward them. One was Finch, coming to reprimand her for taking the jump. The other sat in his saddle with the elegance of a sack of potatoes. How on earth could the man hunt with such a bad seat? As he drew closer, she recognised Mr. Whitlow, her cousin Francis's husband. Before Mr. Whitlow could reach them, Beau chivied his horse into a canter, calling over his shoulder to Anthony to follow. Eliza let out a huge sigh of relief as Beau rode away. It was gratifying to hear him praise her horsemanship, but it was far too dangerous. She withdrew her gaze from Beau's retreating form and realised Anthony had not moved. He was staring right at her. She dared not breathe. Had he penetrated her disguise? After a long moment, he nodded and sped away after Beau, and Mr. Whitlow altered his path to follow them. Eliza released the breath she had been holding and braced herself for Finch's displeasure. What made it worse was she knew it was justified. How could she have guessed that Beau and Anthony were riding with the Hunt today? If she had known, she would not have risked the masquerade, let alone the jump. Finch rode straight up to her brother, his eyes blazing with anger. Of all the court brain things to do, I suppose it never occurred to you that you might not make it over the wall in one piece. As for you, he snarled, looking her in the eyes, worlds fail me. Eliza tossed her head in defiance and rode off. She refused to admit that, on this occasion, he was correct. She had not gone far before Finch and William caught up with her. Her groom took up a position on her left flank while her brother drew his horse alongside her on the right. Sorry, Finch's orders. For your protection. Eliza pursed her lips and refused to answer, but inside she screamed with vexation. Even in male garb her freedom was curtailed. Unbidden, some of her mother's favourite words floated into her mind. Be thankful, Eliza Mary. That is God's will for you. Why should Finch's protectiveness stop her from enjoying what remained of the hunt? She wouldn't let it. Biting back her irritation at her almost military escort, she determined to be thankful and make the best of the situation. It wasn't that hard. The sun shone, and she sat astride a fine horse, unencumbered by her skirts. And despite the unnerving nature of her encounter with Beau, he had praised her riding. As long as no one penetrated her disguise, all would be well. The light was fading by the time the wily fox went to ground and the hunt drew to a close. Eliza was wearier than she cared to admit and had to resist the temptation to slump in her saddle. When Beau rode up to join them, she had reason to be thankful for her groom's high-handedness. Neither Finch nor her brother made room for him, so he had to fall back alongside Mr. Whitlow. Eliza could not help overhearing their conversation. You would not think such a young fellow would risk his neck jumping over that wall, Mr. Whitlow said, presumably nodding in her direction. But no, you would lead them on. Her hackles rose in Beau's defence. I didn't ask anyone to copy me, the Viscount said in a measured tone that suggested he was trying to restrain his irritation. All the same, you could not resist the wall despite what befell your father. What do you know of that? It occurred when we were both still in leading strings. My wife has told me all about it. Given what happened to him, I thought you, of all people, would be more cautious. You were reckless to take such a risk. Absolutely reckless. You should follow my example and marry and produce an heir. It is the responsibility. Time to go, said William, as Beau's prosy brother-in-law continued to deliver his diatribe. Without waiting for a response, her brother veered off to the left and increased his speed as he headed for a track through the trees. Eliza set off behind him with Finch at her side. She was not sorry the day's adventure was over, and was surprised to find herself longing for the protection of her petticoats. They followed the trail through the woods until they reached a clearing near the end of the parsonage garden. After drawing her horse to a stop, she slipped to the ground and passed the reins to Finch, urging her brother to hurry and fetch Charlotte to bring her clothes. She stood fidgeting for what seemed like an age before William's twin appeared, carrying a large cloak bag, which she dropped at Eliza's feet. Charlotte's brow was creased with worry. I'm so glad to see you're still in one piece. You were gone so long. I was certain your horse must have thrown you. Please hurry.
I'm sorry, but the fox just ran and ran. If I had to listen to you speak about foxes. Eliza unbuttoned her jacket and tore it off, followed by her neckcloth, waistcoat and shirt. No more talk of foxes, I promise. She yanked a rather creased gown from the cloak bag and slipped it over her head, pulling it down to cover her breeches and hide William's old boots from sight.
I don't know why I agreed to do this, Charlotte muttered as she did up Eliza's buttons. I should have told Father.
Eliza twisted round to face her sister. You wouldn't. After a long moment, Charlotte spoke.
No, I would not, though maybe I should. I was so scared you would be discovered, and if you were, your reputation would be in tatters. I wish you wouldn't take risks like this. You can imagine how horrified I was when I learned Anthony and Beau were in Hampshire and were joining the hunt. Did you see them?
Eliza dared not admit how close she had come to being found out today. It would only make Charlotte worry.
Yes, but I'm sure Beau didn't recognise me.
That's a relief.
What about Anthony? Not that I would fret over him. If he saw through your disguise, he would laugh it off as a joke. Everything's amusing to him.
But Beau was surprised you missed seeing the hunt off, so he's bound to ask you at dinner.
Dinner?
Beau was moaning about Mr. Whitlow's tedious company, so Hetta invited him and Anthony to eat with us. That's why you must hurry.
Eliza's mouth went dry. Much as she wanted to see Beau again, her youngest sister's invitation was not well-timed. She would barely have enough time to dress for dinner. Oh, my goodness, you're right. I must hurry.
She yanked off her wig much more quickly than she should have done, causing her to wince. Her long blonde hair was in danger of falling all over her face, but she had no time to fix it. She retrieved a rather squashed bonnet from the bag and pushed it down onto her head with considerable force before tying the ribbons. After slipping her arms into her pelisse, she buttoned it up to the top and then grabbed the clothes she had discarded. She stuffed them into the cloak bag, trying not to sniff them in the process as they reeked of the day's exertions. If she smelled half as bad as the clothes...
A bath.
She needed a bath. Eliza hurried back to the house with that one thought in her mind. Because if she didn't bathe, she wouldn't be able to hide where she'd been all day. And she certainly wouldn't be able to face Beau at dinner.